Please bow with me in prayer. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you have to say to us today. Amen. From Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 16, the Good News translation, entitled, The Unity of the Body. I urge you then, I who am a prisoner because I serve the Lord, live a life that measures up to the standard God set when he called you. Be always humble, gentle, and patient. Show your love by being tolerant with one another. Do your best to preserve the unity which the Spirit gives by means of the peace that binds you together. There is one body and one Spirit, just as there is one hope to which God has called you. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There is one God and Father of all people, who is Lord of all, works through all, and is in all. Each one of us has received a special gift in proportion to what Christ has given. As the scripture says, when he went up to the very heights, he took many captives with him. He gave gifts to the people. Now, what does he went up mean? It means that first he came down to the lowest depths of the earth. So the one who came down is the same as the one who went up, above and beyond the heavens, to fill the whole universe with his presence. It was he who gave gifts to people. He appointed some to be apostles, others to be prophets, others to be evangelists, others to be pastors and teachers. He did this to prepare all God's people for the work of Christian service in order to build up the body of Christ. And so we shall all come together to that oneness in our faith and in our knowledge of the Son of God. We shall become mature people, reaching out to the very height of Christ's full stature. Then we shall no longer be children carried by waves and blown about by every shifting wind of the teaching of deceitful people who lead others into error by the tricks they invent. Instead, by speaking the truth in love, in the spirit of love, we must grow up in every way to Christ, who is the head. Under his control, all the different parts of the body fit together, and the whole body is held together by every joint with which it is provided. So when the separate parts work as it should, the whole body grows and builds itself up through love. In our second reading, when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for him. When the people found Jesus on the other side of the lake, they said to him, Teacher, when did you get here? Jesus answered, I am telling you the truth. You are looking for me because you ate the bread and had all you wanted, not because you understood my miracles. Do not work for food that spoils. Instead, work for the food that lasts for eternal life. This is the food which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has put his mark of approval on him. So they asked him, What can we do in order to do what God wants us to do? Jesus answered, What God wants you to do is to believe in the one he sent. They replied, What miracle will you perform so that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the desert, just as the scripture says. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus replied, I am telling you the truth. What Moses gave you was not the bread from heaven. It is my Father who gives you the real bread from heaven. For the bread that God gives is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they asked him, give us this bread always. Jesus told them, I am the bread of life. Those who come to me will never be hungry. Those who believe in me will never be thirsty. This is the word of the Lord. No birds today. Since we studied Ephesians in Circle, I've really come to like this book. It gives us a lot of guidance, such as always be humble, gentle, and patient. Show your love by being tolerant with one another. Do your best to preserve the unity. Is there any better advice than that? It sounds good to me, but can we do it? Can we make it happen? I know that I'm not perfect, and there are times I'd like to tell someone to sit down, button your lip, and grow up. Yes, I've been known to yell at the television, and even throw things at the television. But that might just raise my blood pressure that much higher. So I sit there, or at times change the channel, and I think I just better stay silent. Not my monkeys, not my circus. But wait a minute, what if it is my circus? What if I'm part of that circus? So I think, what would Jesus do? Or better yet, what would Jesus have me do? I'm very much a procrastinator, and there are times that this is a good thing. This week with the Olympics, we've heard a lot about mental health and walking away from a commitment or obligation, or at least taking a time out. No one knows you better than you. While watching the preliminary women's gymnastics event, I thought to myself, Simone Biles, she just didn't have her head in the game. She made uncharacteristic mistakes. She realized this and removed herself from team competition to give them the opportunity to shine. This is part of being a team player and knowing when to step back. Taking one for the team, as they say. It's a hard decision to make, but in this case, in my opinion, it was the right one. Oh, my friend Merriam-Webster said, teamwork is work done by several associates, with each doing a part, but all subordinating personal prominence to the efficiency of the whole. Wow, Webster could insert a picture of Simone Biles right there, because that's exactly what she did. God gives us all gifts, to some the skills of learning and teaching, others voices to sing beautifully, others the ability to play musical instrument, the love of numbers and science. It's our responsibility to identify those gifts and put them to use serving God and this ministry. Each of us is different with different gifts and different skills, but together we can be effective when we put aside our desires to be the best or the leader and work together. Sarah Heinrich, who is a professor emeritus of New Testament at Luther Seminary in St. Paul, Minnesota, said, "Perhaps the most important thing for us in these verses is the clarity of purpose in the lives of believers." In Ephesians 4:12, there's a simple statement of the purpose of God's gifts given to believers. I repeat, given to believers, not attained or earned by them, to equip the saints for ministry, to build up the body of Christ. All gifts are given for the sake of the increase of the whole. Rivalries, competition, judgmental evaluations are precluded, meaning they are not allowed. I recently joined a Bible study group at Gypsy Hill Place, where Yvonne lives, led by Reverend Karen Alamon from First Presbyterian Church in Stanton. We're studying Genesis, and this discussion this week was about Noah and his family as they prepared for the flood. God took a step back and looked at the world he created and what it had become. He was not happy. From Genesis 6, the Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, "I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I have made them." But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Wow, can we take from that God made a mistake? Did he say, "I don't like what I see and what you have become, so I'm going to get rid of you and start over"? If God can admit he made a mistake, so can we. We can start over too. Our 275th anniversary committee is working diligently to plan a meaningful event in October. We are to the point of working on a list of invitees. Who should we invite? If we invite so-and-so, will people not come because they don't like them? Or what they did while they were here? Or can we invite everyone who has been a part of Bethel's history and pray that we will act like adults and welcome everyone with love? I may have strayed a little from my original thought of teamwork, but this is something we need to hear. Part of being a team player is working together and realizing even if we have the best player in the world, we still need a team to back them up and play as one. From an article written by Tracy Middleton, great ideas don't come from lone geniuses. Albert Einstein gets all the credit for discovering the theory of relativity. But the truth is, he relied on conversations with friends and colleagues to refine his concept. And that's almost always the case. "Behind every genius is a team," says John, an author of Pulling Together, 10 Rules for High Performance Teamwork. When people play off each other's skills and knowledge, they can create solutions that are practical and useful. That's why John Murphy recommends the first thing you need to do is to ditch the too pervasive idle mentality. Tom Brady is all that, but remember, he doesn't win Super Bowls by himself. It takes a team. I am praying that love will win this time as we move forward. Can we leave our differences and hates? And yes, I said hates, behind and work together as a team with a positive attitude, knowing that no one is perfect, but that we will try our best to convey the love of God to all we meet? Rabbi Shalamoni said there is more good than evil in the world, but not by much. We can make a difference. Let's be the team that works together in love to make that difference. And from Irene, remember, love is the only thing that is eternal. Amen.